You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper. Well, folks, everything around here is getting settled in, and we're getting used to our new location. Just a few things I want to straighten up. The phone calls we've been getting tells me that some of you are very confused out there. Our address has not changed for mailing or for orders. It is still Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. In other words, if you want to write to me, if you want to order something from our flyers, not the catalog, from Surplus and Stuff, that has nothing to do with our organization, folks. Completely separate. If you want to write to me, or to the Hour of the Time, or you would like to order something from the information that we send out, that is me, William Cooper, or Kaji, or the Hour of the Time, send it to Kaji, C-A-J-I, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. One more time for the slow folks. P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. If you come to St. John's and you'd like to stop in and visit with us, the physical address, it's also an address where you can send anything UPS or Federal Express, is 165 East Commercial Street, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's 165 East Commercial Street, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. The telephone numbers for regular voice conversations, 602-337-2562. That's 602-337-2562. The fax line is 602-337-2524. The fax line is also the call-in line, and we will be taking calls in a few minutes for tonight's program. Let some of you vent some of your frustrations and tell us what's on your mind. Again, the fax number and the call-in number while we're on the air is 602-337-2524. Okay, folks, I hope that straightens a lot of things out. Also, for those of you who tried to call the Hickory Daily Record in Hickory, North Carolina, to tell them how angry you are that they have not printed the story about Herb Flessner, who was holding public meetings and disseminating information and helping people to learn the law so that they could go out and untax themselves. He wasn't untaxing anybody. He didn't break any laws. He was exercising his First Amendment protected rights. And he was arrested and charged with conspiracy to defraud the government. The Hickory Daily Record refuses to print any part of this story. In fact, they won't even print anything, period, except information that leads the people to believe that he was arrested for non-payment or non-filing of taxes, which is a lie, an absolute lie. You see, if he was guilty of that, they would have charged him with that, folks. He's not going to go to jail. But they do this every year around the country. ladies and gentlemen, to scare the sheeple, the rest of you, into filing and paying taxes that you don't have to file and pay if you fulfill certain legal conditions, which is what he was helping these people to learn, which is what you will learn from Vultures in Eagle's Clothing and from Goodbye April 15th. So, anyway, we gave out a local 800 number for you to call, and we found out that it's no good for nationwide. So a lot of you called that number, and you were not able to get through. So if you live in North Carolina, you can use 1-800-222-8163. That's just for North Carolina. 1-800-222-8163. For everybody else in the country, please call. Please tell these scumbag newspaper people what you think about their inability or unwillingness, which is more like it, to print the truth. The number to call is 704-322-4510. Ask for the editor. That's area code 704-322-4510. One more time. Area code 704-322-4510. Please do that, folks. We all have to work together to make this a better place to live. It's getting worse all the time. Mostly because people sit around and do nothing, thinking that people like me are going to do it all for you. And I can't, and I won't. You see, if you're not going to pull your share of the load, then eventually I'll get disgusted with you and leave you to sit there and stew in your own juice. So don't do that. Help out, okay? Now, in honor of the opening of our new research center and studios, we have reopened an offer that we made, a couple of months ago or so. The family unit. It's 1 year supply for a family of four adults of dehydrated, nitrogen-packed in enamel cans food. There's none of this soybean stuff in there. If the can says meat, it's meat. If it says chicken, it's chicken. If it says fruit, it's fruit. It's all grade A, number one, stored in number 10 cans and 2.5 cans, and there's a sprouting unit. And the retail price on this is $2,768. That's what it would cost you to buy it if you went to a regular dealer. We have made an agreement with the suppliers of this food storage packages because they believe in what we're doing here at the Hour of the Time, and they want to help you people prepare for what's coming. And we are able to give it to regular listeners of the program for $2,268. That's $500 right off the top, folks. $2,268. If you can get a better deal, please write me and tell me who's giving it. Send me their literature so that I can satisfy myself you're not pulling my leg. And I'll go back and try to negotiate a better deal. Because we want to be the lowest. We want to make this stuff available for you people who need it, and the lower the price, the better off everybody's going to be. So the retail price is $2,768 for CAGI listeners. It's $2,268 for CAGI members. As usual, you get a better break. You do a lot of the work out there. You pump a lot of information in here to us. $2,168 for CAGI members only. Let me tell you what's in this unit, folks. Number 10 cans, there's two of fruit mix, two of applesauce, two of apple slices, two of raisins, two of banana slices, two potato granules, two corn, two carrot dices, two tomato powder, two onions chopped, two peas, green garden, two cabbage, two bacon bits, two six beef, four chicken, two gelatin fruit flavor, two soup base, two peanut butter, two margarine product, two cheese blend, two salt, 24 number 10 cans of instant non-fat milk, 24 of regular non-fat milk, 12 of pinto beans, 12 of elbow macaroni, 12 rice, 24 of hard red wheat, 24 of whole wheat flour, 24 of cracked wheat cereal, 12 of white sugar in 2.5 cans. There's 2 of mung beans and Alaska peas, 2 triticale, 2 lentils, 1 complete cookbook, 1 sprouting tray, 80 lids for number 10 cans, 3 lids for number 2.5 cans. I don't have the weight here, but it's around 1,300 and some odd pounds of food. 545 gallons. It's a total of 41 cubic feet in 37 cases. Folks, now, please take advantage of this. We're going to keep it open for about a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then we're going to close it off again because we can't afford to do this on a continuing basis. And I'm sure you can understand why. We have to eat around here, too. We want to give you what we can, but we can't do it forever. Also, Vultures and Eagles clothing. Remember, do not order that from the catalog from Surplus and Stuff. It's not in there. Don't order anything from Surplus and Stuff that's not in their catalog, folks. You have to send that to the P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona. Remember, it's $43. And we'll send it off. Those of you who have already sent in your orders for Vultures and Eagles clothing should be getting them sometime next week, probably about Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe, because they're sent out second day priority mail from the publisher. So be prepared for that. Well, what's been going on around here? We had a big mystery over the last couple of days. Down at the drugstore, they kept finding all the Playboy magazines with the covers missing. And there were little puddles of water on the floor. Nobody could figure out what it was. And Tim and John decided that they were going to play detective and find out what was going on. And we were all standing around down at Ferris's Auto Clinic, Root Beer Emporium, and Horseshoe Pit. And telling each other, you know, what was this and what was going on. And Ferris was standing there with this big grin on his face. And all of a sudden I noticed he had a staple right between his two front teeth. I didn't say anything, though. I just kept my mouth shut, folks. And I don't know what's going to happen after this broadcast. But don't go away. We'll be right back and we'll be taking your phone calls. Also, some of you have been wondering what happened to the 800 number for the catalog sales. There was a problem with it. It's back up now. It's online. Everything's working fine. I'll give that to you again right now. For phone orders, 1-800-788-3320. That's 1-800-788-3320. Fax orders, same number, 1-800-788-3320. If you called it before, Tim asked me to apologize to everybody because it wasn't working. It's working now. As with everything new, sometimes you have some problems. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
This is Carl from Pennsylvania.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, but I hate to be putting this full wool coat back on again.
Well, we had to do that here today. Woke up this morning with an inch of snow on the ground in Arizona.
Oh, you didn't get it. All right. I want to ask you about the Treaty of Bretton Woods.
Yes.
Me and my librarian today, we spend an awful lot of time trying to research this.
It's Bretton Woods.
Okay, Bretton. B-R-E-T-O-N?
Yes.
what we need is basically just a little hair more information of who it's between. Like, is it between the UN and the Treasury Department, or who are the two entities?
No, the entities are the United States of America.
Okay.
And I believe it was seven other nations, and what they did was create the International Monetary Fund.
Okay, so the International Monetary Fund would be the starting point.
There you go. That's what I told you on the phone. I recognize your voice, by the way.
Okay, well.
Remember I told you, go to the International Monetary Fund and work backwards.
Okay, yeah. I found out that these depositories around here, they're partial depositories. There's only like one real library around this whole area we're going to have to go to.
Well, you may have to go to the indexes and then order what you need through the interlibrary loan system.
Yeah, we got that all worked out. I just got like one comment or two comments. The first one is about all these survival supplies. Here's something that I've been doing that I don't think many people have even discussed or talked about. I would say that storing like about 100 gallons of kerosene and buying a few kerosene heaters would be very, very wise. Wouldn't you agree?
That depends on where you live. Yeah, if you live in a cold climate, I certainly agree with that.
I mean, that would be complete independence there.
Well, not really. You're just still depending on a fossil fuel. I urge people to get away from all of that. To solar power, wind power, water power. If you have a piece of property and you could dig down and build your home underground, it will stay the same temperature all year round, just like a cave.
Around 69 degrees.
Yep.
And just basically, all I want to do is to try to cheer you up. I know that all these people that are on God's side fighting this battle, we're all going to suffer greatly. I know that you and yours suffer a lot, but overall, I think that we're all going to suffer in our own way.
Yeah.
I just wanted to help, I don't know, break the ice or something.
Well, thank you for calling. Got to let you go.
Hey, may Jesus and Mary bless you, your church members, and your listeners, Bill.
Thank you. Good night. It's 602, and I got to turn around and look at this thing. It's 602-337-2524. 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Donna calling from Wisconsin, and I'd like to say hello to you. Tonight I noticed something interesting on the Little Chicago Local News broadcast. In South Africa, as they were showing the voters going through, they were putting both their hands into some type of a machine, and it appeared to be having their whole hands, both of them, photographed before they were allowed to vote. Do you know what that was?
No, I sure don't. In fact, I hadn't heard that until you just told me.
Well, it was something I noticed. It was only one brief clip, and maybe Kaji could look into it and try to find out. I was wondering, was the whole point of the election to register every living person there? Because more of them are turning out than they ever expected.
I don't know. I'll tell you quite honestly. I thought the point of the election was to try to get some kind of an equality in the government over there. I take great exception to all these people who are claiming that the whites are getting a bad deal after they've enslaved the blacks over there for a couple of centuries.
I don't know about the politics of South Africa. I just want to know why they were photographing everybody's hands.
I don't know.
Okay, well, maybe you can mention it when you and if you find out. Thank you, Bill, and God bless you and Carolyn and Annie and Pooh.
You're welcome.
Bye.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Bill.
602-337-2524. 602-337-2524 is the calling number. When we're not on the air, that is the fax number. Good evening.
Hi, can you give me your fax number?
You just called it.
This is your fax number.
Yes, I've about said it about six times already since the beginning of the program. The fax number is the same as the call-in number. However, when we're on the air, the fax is disconnected. And the rest of the day and night, it's online.
Okay, then I got there's a JD has been arrested over here in Tampa, Florida, and they're holding him without charges. I'll get you the data after the show. Thank you.
Wait a minute. What's a JD?
He's a doctor of the jurisprudence.
Oh, okay.
And this fellow, I'll send you something. Love the show. I'll get off the air now. I'll get off your line, all right?
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
602-337-2524. And remember, rest of the day and night, that's our fax number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill, this is Doug Bryan from Houston, Texas. How you doing tonight?
Good, Doug. What can I do for you?
Well, I was listening to Kurt Saxon Sunday night. Do you listen to Get the Kick In much?
I know who Kurt Saxon is from way, way back.
Way, way back, yes.
Yeah.
He had a real problem with this gold stuff, you know, collecting or keeping gold coins and stuff like that. I was wondering what your viewpoint on that was.
Who had the problem?
Kurt Saxon. He said that people shouldn't be protecting their assets with gold, that they should be investing them in tools and stuff like that, and that they shouldn't go with the gold.
Well, you should have whatever you need that you're going to have to use to survive, but you should also have some real money in case you need it. In fact, you may have to buy your life or the life of one of your family members at some point in time, and they may not want tools.
Trade goods.
Well, if you listen to him very carefully, night after night after night, and if you look into his history.
Yeah, I know Kurt from way back. I had his book back in the early 70s. I picked up some of his stuff.
And then why are you calling me asking about him? You already know.
I just wanted to hear what your opinion on it was.
I helped him get on radio because
I know you did. That was the reason that I called, because you know I knew you'd helped him get on.
Yeah, but I only helped him get on for the discerning ears to pick from him what he can teach you that's valuable, and discerning ears will discard the rest of the crap.
Okay,
remember what I've always told you people. Listen to everybody, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own right.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Calling from Pensacola. With regard to the lady who was thought that people were having their hands photographed, what they're actually doing is they're spraying their hands after they vote with an indelible ink and then fluorescing it when people come, just to make sure people vote only once.
So they don't vote again. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you for that bit of information. Oh, boy. Yeah, what's happening over there is probably going to result in a civil war. There'll probably be a great backlash of those who are losing power, hating it. As always, when people who've never had power before get power, they're going to abuse it, and things are going to be in a state of confusion and chaos for a long time. But it's about time those people regain their freedom. No matter what color I would be born, if someone enslaved me, I would have a machete in my hands, and I would be slitting their throat also. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Cooper, how you doing?
Just fine.
Ed from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Hi, Ed.
My wife caught, in response to that woman that was just on the phone speaking about South Africa, my wife caught a local news broadcast here in Philadelphia, and a lot of the people were getting fingerprinted as they were voting, and I don't know if it was, you know, before or after they voted or whatever, but, and then they shut the voting booths down, and she said they were standing there with automatic weapons kind of pointed at them. And my wife kind of thinks that it was like a newscast that kind of got slipped through and it shouldn't have been there. And also I wanted to ask you, too, is have you heard anything about the two helicopters that were shot down over Iraq and who was on them? I heard they were high-ranking UN officials early on, and I haven't heard anything since. It's been, like, left out of the news. And I was just curious if you've heard anything, and I'll just hang up and listen to your response.
Well, back to South Africa for just a second, and I'll answer that. Unfortunately, no matter what happens over there right now, there's probably going to be civil war. A lot of people are going to die. And unfortunately, if a party comes to power, it's probably going to be communist. And that happens because nobody else has promised or helped those people. The communists always come in and do that. And we should be helping them, but we always tend to help the dictators and the people that are enslaving and killing other people. And if you look back through our history, that's why we've been called the ugly American.
Right.
And to answer your question, I don't know who was on those helicopters, but I know what they told us was a lie. Jet fighters do not visually identify our aircraft when they're in the air. They have what they call IFF.
Right.
It stands for Interrogative Friend or Foe. And all of the aircraft and pilots are given the code for these instruments, and all they have to do is squawk IFF, and they'll get back a friendly answer if it's our aircraft. Now, I can understand one IFF maybe not working properly, but two is out of the question. Also, our helicopters are pretty distinctive in their shape and in their operation, and flight plans are always filed by our people, and in hostile country like that, it's always the flight plans of friendly aircraft flying through hostile country is always given to all of the other military organizations. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I fought in Vietnam. We had air support, and we had to know when it was going to be friendly air support and when it might be MiGs from North Vietnam. And we were trained in all this. I also worked in the SINCPAC Fleet Command Center as the Petty Officer of the Watch for 3 years. The SINCPAC Fleet is the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet. And so I know about identifying aircraft by our pilots and by our ground personnel and by our ships. And what they told us was a lie. If what they told us is really what happened, then our aircraft shot those helicopters down on purpose for some reason that is not apparent at this time.
Well, I kind of believed that as soon as I heard about it, that they were either being escorted, because we had to know that those ranking officials were there. Now, that could be a lie, too, that they weren't even ranking officials. But I believe that they knew they were there. They were either flying, escorting them, and turn around and somehow just said, hey, this is what has to be done, because maybe it was people who weren't participating with certain things.
Well, their whole scam is that they misidentified them by visual identification means, and that's not the way you identify friendly aircraft.
Also, to respond to the woman that said they were turning out in droves at the South African elections, is because there's so many of them, because I believe they're just totally in fear of their freedom. And that's why, like, 95% of the people are turning out.
Yeah, they're scared to death. Unfortunately, the people they're voting for aren't going to be any better than the people they're voting out. But it's the first step toward a change of power and a different outlook for those people. And I don't know how it's going to end up. I think a lot of people are going to get killed. I think there's going to be a lot of misery. I think the blacks are going to do to the whites what they condemned the whites for doing to them, because looking at history, there's always a swing of a pendulum. And whatever is happening when the pendulum is on one side, when it swings back to the other side, will be exactly the opposite.
Right.
And nobody seems to learn anything from history. If you don't want to be discriminated against, you can't discriminate against anybody else.
Right.
And I hope Louis Farrakhan is listening.
Oh, it's amazing. They're over here in Jersey preaching their brains out, and I haven't heard one thing about South Africa yet.
Yeah, you probably won't.
Yeah, right. Okay, God bless and have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
602-337-2524. Probably making a lot of people angry out there. That's what I've got to say tonight. Especially those at the Euro-American Alliance and the some of the separatist groups, and who knows? A lot of people, I imagine. From the mail I get, I know I am. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Glenn calling from San Jose, California.
How you doing, Glenn?
All right. I'm a new shortwave listener. I heard about the event in San Jose a few weeks ago on your show, and I went to it because of hearing about it on your show, and I brought a friend. One of the things I'm concerned about is the Clinton health care plan, and there's an aspect of that plan I'm concerned about, which has to do with involuntarily committing people to psychiatric institutions. As you may know, the way the laws are right now, a person can actually be committed involuntarily to a psychiatric institution simply with the signature of two psychiatrists.
That's true, but he has to have a hearing in a court of law within 15 days if he does not consent of his own free will.
Okay, that's true. But once they've got the person in the institution, they can you know, do their so-called treatments to them, give them electrocution and so forth.
Sure, that's the whole point. Hold on, we got to take a break here, and I'll be right back
okay.
in just a short period of time.
Okay.
And we're back. Folks, I want you to do something for yourselves, for the program. If you believe that this program is worth staying on the air, then I want you to call Swiss American Trading and thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. You know, they've been with us for 1 year now. And while you're at it, I want you to ask them for all the literature and information that they have to be sent to you. You're entitled to that as a listener to the Hour of the Time. And, folks, you need to ask them what plans they have that can help you protect your assets against what's surely coming. Just without anything else, just the raising of the interest rates 3 times since the 1st of January should be setting off alarm bells all over the place. But, as the sheeple do always, they never seem to smell blood until they're already in the slaughterhouse. So do that. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. One more time. 1-800-289-2646. Folks, you'll be glad that you did. Still there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, continue.
So, the thing is, these voluntary commitment laws haven't been of much use in psychiatrists because if they do put people into psychiatric institutions, they don't have any money to pay for it. But the Clinton health care plan has provisions in it which provide for mandatory, unlimited funding for psychiatric treatment for every person in the United States.
That's right. That's what they did in the Soviet Union. They set up mental health care clinics. Anyone who spoke out against the state or said or did something that was not considered politically correct by the communist regime found themselves in a mental institution. In the New World Order, we've already discovered that patriotism or nationalism, which are two different things, by the way, I'm a patriot, not a nationalist, will be considered mental illness.
I don't understand. What's the difference between patriotism and nationalism?
Nationalism is my country, right or wrong. If my leader tells me to go kill 50 people, I'll just go out there and kill them because my leader told me to, and I am loyal to this nation and to my leader. Patriotism is loyalty to an ideal, a principle.
Okay. Well, yes, what you said there about the Soviet Union, that's exactly right. Now, the thing is I haven't seen this in the media. The only place I've seen this particular aspect of the health plan exposed is in a booklet put out by an organization called Citizens Commission on Human Rights. And they have a booklet called Psychiatry's Multi-Billion Dollar Fraud. And this this booklet is an appraisal of psychiatry and your tax dollars.
Well, it starts with a psychologist, or a psychiatrist is merely a psychologist who is also a medical doctor, or a medical doctor who also has a degree in psychology and is licensed in both. A psychologist, of course, just has a degree and license in psychology. The whole profession of psychology is a scam to begin with. None of it is based upon scientific fact.
That's exactly right.
Not any of it. Most people are in mental institutions probably don't belong there. And I have seen people hurt terribly after they were committed to a mental institution where they probably could have overcome whatever their difficulties were if they had not been sent there.
That whole subject is, in fact, covered by the Citizens Commission. This booklet focuses more narrowly on this funding provision. If it's okay, I'd like to give their phone number of their national headquarters in Los Angeles, because people can call and get a copy of this booklet, and we want people to get in touch with their members of the House of Representatives and write to them and tell them we want all psychiatric funding provisions cut out of
Hold it. The whole Clinton health care plan is bad, not just this part, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's socialism. Socialism is not welcome nor desired in a freedom-loving republic such as ours. So, not just to ask that all psychiatric funding be cut out of this, but to ask that the whole thing be scrapped and put where it belongs in a toilet and flushed.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I was just saying more in the sense that they get some funding apart from this as well. But, you're absolutely right. So if it's okay, I'd like to give their phone number.
Okay, do it quick, then I'm going to let you go, with the understanding that I do not know who this organization is. Me or CAGI do not endorse, nor do we condemn them. We know nothing about them. Go ahead.
Okay, their area code 213-467-42. Yeah, one of their original founders was a psychiatrist named Dr. Thomas Faz, who's actually sort of an anti-psychiatrist.
Well, give the number one more time, then I gotta let you go.
213-467-4242.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, the profession of psychology was created to try to make all people behave exactly alike. Any behavior that is outside of what they consider to be the norm is considered to be deviant or psychotic behavior. And you'll see that in their publications and in their professional journals, each year, the zone of what they consider to be normal gets narrower and narrower. Until eventually you will find nobody who is different from anybody else. You won't find what we call characters or people with independent will, you know. And that's what's happening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. My name is John. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I just want to make a few points. Maybe somebody out there knows a little something about what's going on at the National Guard bases out here in the L.A. area and the movements that they're making with the local sheriff's units. My dad was a sheriff for about 3 years.
Well, now, you're talking in very general terms, and we don't have too much time, so you have to be very specific. What are they doing?
Well, it's just like my father said, that they never, when he was in the sheriff's department, never, ever coordinated in any way. And they are driving their vehicle into the bases and conducting meetings of some kind. It doesn't make any sense for any local authorities to be getting together with federal authorities unless it's what you've been preaching all this time.
Read my book and all will be made clear to you.
Yeah. Also, another book I'd really like to recommend is called The Fearful Master, A Second Look at the United Nations. Have you ever heard of that book?
No, but I've taken quite a few looks at the United Nations, and I probably could tell you what it's going to say before you say it.
Oh, yeah, it's a very good book. It's by G. Edward Griffin.
The United Nations is the foundation of a totalitarian socialist world government.
Oh, it's everything that you've been saying. It just verifies what you've been talking about. Everybody should read that. Like you said, research it. You know, don't listen to you. Don't listen to anybody else. Research yourself so that you get the facts. And keep up the good work, and God bless America.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good night. 602-337-2524 is the number. 602-337-2524 here in beautiful St. John's, Arizona. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Randy in Chicago. How are you?
Good. Very good. In fact, very happy.
Carolyn Nelson still helping you out, or is she gone now?
No, she's here.
Oh, that's good. I hope to hear her.
She chose to sit out there in the audience with Annie tonight.
Oh, that's very good. Well, you sound real good there. I had a question for you on the M16, the rifle. I'm familiar with the history of it in Vietnam, how it was troublesome and trouble prone.
It sucks.
Yeah, when you
carried one for a year, and I wouldn't give you a nickel for it.
Even after all the improvements to this time?
I don't care what you do to it. It's a piece of junk.
I see. Evidently, the Mag 90 is a better way to go.
You better believe it. I never saw one instance where an AK-47 failed to fire, and they were a pain in our ass the whole time we were over there.
Okay. You had mentioned that you were out with two friends up in the mountains there testing a Mag 90 or checking out a Mag 90. That's the one with the sporter stock, right? The Chinese version with the sporter stock?
The Mag 90 is an AK-47, only it is not capable of fully automatic fire.
Right, okay. But it's got the thumb hole stock.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
Okay. Now, there's a... Do you know anything about a provision about Russian arms being classified as curios and relics, and therefore they're not subject to the imposition of not being able to put a pistol grip on or a stand?
Don't get caught up into that.
Okay.
If they want to make something illegal tomorrow that's never been illegal in the history of the world, they'll do it.
Okay. Now, one other question from what you know about these Chinese versions of the AK-47. I've seen Hungarian versions, and then there's a Russian version. Is there a certain version of it that's better than the other ones? Some are forged, most are stamped.
Forged is always better. Stamped, depending upon who made it, is going to tell you whether or not it's any good. Norinco arms are usually pretty good. Don't go out looking for a rifle and think you're going to get anything good for $90. A real good rifle is going to cost you upwards of $700. The best rifle that I know of today is going to cost you right around $3,000, and that's an assault rifle made in Germany. It's the HK-91.
That's in 308?
HK-91 is, 308.
Okay, right.
And that's the best 308 in the world, as a matter of fact. The second best is the Springfield M14.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question. Have you ever heard of the Hungarian manufacturer called Feg, F-E-G?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Haven't had any experience with anything that they've put out.
They made a premium-priced AK-47 Sporter that was being imported. It's now out of production, but it's not a. From what I understand, a lot of the Russian ones, which are hard to get, were knives and forged and machined and so on. But
yeah, the Russian were the best.
Okay, thank you.
The Balishnikov.
Okay. Oh, the Dragunov. Okay. But your modified 375 H&H is the way to go. Did you ever get a price?
Well, if you can afford a 50 caliber, that's actually the best. If you can't, then our 375 H&H improved Magnum is the best. And if you can't get that, I would go with something different. I wouldn't go with a Dragunov because it's just not that good at a long range.
There's a company out of Phoenix there, I believe. It's called Robar Industries. They make a contract and civilian available 50 caliber sniper rifle. Have you seen that one?
Or have you ever heard of Rollbar Industries?
I've seen the ads on all of them.
You have?
Yeah, but you got to be careful. There's one that you have to disassemble the breech in order to load around into the chamber, and there's another one that you can open the breech and put around in and close the breech. So, you know, you don't want one that's going to take you half an hour to put around in the chamber.
Had you ever priced out your custom-made 375 H&H?
My personal weapon is going to end up, after everything completed, right around $1,500-$1,600.
Okay, and would it be a little bit more for somebody just to walk into a gunsmith with, you know, to get the, have him collect the parts and do the work?
Absolutely. If you don't know somebody that can work with you and get them for you for cost, and you would do the work at for a reasonable rate, it's going to run you about $3,000.
$3,000. Yeah. Okay, Bill. Thank you.
For instance, the rifle costs normally almost $900 retail, and I got mine for about half price, and all the parts that I get, because we work together, and we have militia units, and we have people from all different occupations and walks of life, and we all make everything available to everybody else for whatever it costs us.
I wanted to make one more quick comment. I really enjoy your Indiana University and the Cincinnati Pops Disney music there. Very nice.
Oh, well, there's some more coming up.
Is that part of a good Telarc collection that you have there?
Yeah, that's Telarc, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
And I might as well tell you folks right now that I'm not going to be in Orlando, Florida this year with the Preparedness Expo. You see, I used to do the preparedness expos, and I used to speak at every one of them all the time until somebody asked me about the slanderous lies that Bobo Gritz had published about me in his book, which I have since proven is a lie by playing, in his own words, the truth on this radio broadcast. I've exposed that scumbag, and patriots are catching on to him across the country. Anyway, someone in the audience asked me about that, and I proved to them, to that audience, which was a very large audience, that what he had written was a lie, by doing the same thing, playing the tape. After which, Bobo stormed through the crowd and physically attacked me, and then complained to the promoter, Dan Chittuck, that I was bad-mouthing him, and so I wasn't allowed to speak at Preparedness Expo anymore. Well, Preparedness Expo hasn't been making much money lately, so Dan called me up to speak in San Jose, and he wanted me to speak in Orlando and all the other places and just start speaking again, since Bobo wasn't speaking. So I went to San Jose, and I did my thing, and everybody loved it, and I filled up the audience and brought a lot of people in there and helped educate a lot of people. And someone came to my booth and asked me about, what's his name, Don McElvaney. I said, I don't know anything about Don McElvaney, except in his own newsletter he has published months or years ago. We have copies of it here. And he has stated during his talks to people around the country that he worked for the CIA and was a CIA operative. And other than that, I don't know anything about him. So the guy went away, and apparently he went over to Don McElvaney and told McElvaney what I had said. McElvaney then came over, and just like Bobo did before, only not physically, he threatened me. And I told him to take his threats and stick them where the sun don't shine, that we had copies of his newsletters and still do, and that we have personally been in the audience when he has said that he worked for the CIA. And I told him that if he wanted to write me a letter certifying under penalty of perjury that he has never worked for the Central Intelligence Agency in his life, that when people ask me that, I would tell them that yes, he has stated in his newsletter and in his lectures that he's worked for the CIA, and he's also sent me this letter denying it so that I could be fair to him. And he said that he would. He has not, and I'm going to tell you right now, he never will send me that notarized signed statement under penalty of perjury. Because it would then be a lie, and he would then be guilty of perjury. But anyway, he's complained now to Dan Chittock, and so Dan Chittock has told me that I can no longer speak once again at the preparedness expos. Last time I thought maybe Dan was just making a mistake. This time I know he's just a total asshole that doesn't give a damn about the truth. He just wants to make a whole lot of money, and it appears to me that he wants people speaking there who may not be 100% on the up and up. But anyway, that's why I will not be at the Preparedness Expo in Orlando, Florida, or anywhere else. And I'll tell you this, if Dan Chittock came back and begged me on his knees to go, I would never again go to Preparedness Expo now that I really know what kind of a person he really is. The number is 602-337-2524. 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Bill. Congratulations on your move to your new studio. This is Frank in Longwood.
Thank you.
And I was calling to see if you might have some comments on this. I watched the Nixon funeral today, and there was a comment made by the mainline media that it was a rather unusual gathering of people there. And looking at the faces out there, I saw a gathering of power brokers, CFR members, so forth.
Where was this happening?
At the Nixon funeral.
Well, of course. He was one of them.
And and I wonder about this. They made the comment that he moved back to New York to be close to his family. And people who have read various reference books know that
his family's in California.
And there are certain organizations that are in New York, obviously. And that it makes a good base to travel overseas and see certain people.
It's where the power is, where the money is, it's where the organizations that he belonged to is. It's close to Washington, D.C. He was a mover and a shaker. That's, you know, if I was him, I would have gone there too. Thank God I'm not him.
Well, you know, I also thought it was rather fitting and atypical that Henry Kissinger would probably deliver the most descriptive eulogy, seeing as how it came from the staff of the CFR.
Henry Kissinger is the one that shafted him.
Well, that's...
They're all backstabbing, lying, deceiving, scumbag manipulators, every one of them.
Anyhow, I just wanted to call and congratulate you on your move, and you've done a good job there, spreading the word. And I was put onto your show by a fellow amateur radio operator, and there are many of us out here who listen. And in fact, there's a few of us here locally that also discuss the topic of the night after the show's over. And we're doing it Monday through Friday, and considered to be very valuable listening, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Okay, say hello to Annie and Pooh, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you again sometime in the future.
Thank you. Just made Annie smile real big.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. 602-337-2524. Got time for maybe one or two more calls, hopefully two. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a former black Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And I listen to you all the time.
Wonderful.
And
can you turn your radio off right quick?
Oh, okay.
Remember, folks, turn your radio off when you call any radio show.
Okay. I think people give Mr. Farrakhan a bad shake, you know what I mean? But really, I know him personally, and I saw your book in one of his newspapers, and that's how I found out about you.
Oh, yeah. He.
Evidently, he hasn't publicly come out and endorsed you. But the endorsement is enough in his newspaper. I think most of what says about whites is just a bunch of rhetoric. I've never known any black Muslims to go out and do any harm to whites. You see what I'm saying? Only in self-defense.
Yeah, well, I haven't known any black Muslims to do that either. I don't give him a bad shake. I recognize 100% what he's done for black people. And the black Muslim, the Nation of Islam, in this country has probably been the most stabilizing, the best thing for the black family and the black community that's ever happened to blacks in this country. But his rhetoric condemning whites as the devil and the other things that he says are certainly do not help anything at all.
I know it seems to be very offensive.
Not only offensive, but it doesn't do much to help people like me who are trying to help all people, no matter what color, religion, or race they are.
But I would bet you behind closed doors, if you met him, you would see a different side of him.
Well, I think we'd have an awful lot to talk about, and I think that
it could be productive. But I just want to you know, just make that statement. But you know, I have a lot of people that I know, and I always talk about you, and I always tell people to get a Shell Weaver and listen to you, because your show is about the only show I've come across that has been making the most sense. And you know, and I will continue to do that because you know, I like what you're saying.
Well, thank you.
I'm gonna hang up, and, you know, but I want to tell you that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan. Bye-bye.
Yeah, folks, I learned a long time ago. You see, there was a portion of my life where I could have turned out to be a racist too, but I learned very quickly that that's not the way to go. And there's nothing true about any of it. It's a lie. Racism is not ingrained in anyone. It's taught. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a Class 3 gun dealer. I've got some questions or some comments I just want to pass on. First of all, what's your thought about any concerns about owning Class 3 firearms?
Are you talking about automatic weapons?
Yeah, fully autos.
I think fully automatic weapon is the worst thing that a patriot could ever have in his hands.
Why is that?
Because I fought in Vietnam, I saw what people do with automatic weapons, and what they do is very quickly deplete your supply of ammunition, and for the amount of rounds that they fire, it's not worth it. If you give me one man who can hit his target every time he fires his weapon, and I'll take him over 20 automatic weapons.
Okay, interesting perspective. A legal perspective on Class 3. An individual who buys a Class 3 firearm buys it on a Form 4 transfer.
Yeah.
Just a little side note, there are people and businesses and corporations that still own to this day machine guns in, say, New York City, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
that have been grandfathered because they've owned them since the 30s and 40s. One of the avenues that we're looking at is Form 4s will grandfather owners of Class 3 firearms as gun legislation gets heated up in Washington.
In my estimation, the only way those weapons will be any good is if we fight another war like Korea and you have lines and lines of people coming at you, or they fight another civil war where two armies stand up across an open field and shoot at each other. And it's not going to happen that way. Those days are gone. We need people who can hit their target, and we're out of time. If you can call back tomorrow night, we can talk more about it.
Yeah, definitely. I get some other legal notes on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Great show, by the way.
Thank you. Well, folks, we're out of time. As always, good night, and God bless you all. Clinton! 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 Bellary, Bellary, Bellary!